Good morning, everyone. Really good to see you. I love this time of year. I love. Haven't the team done well with setting it up and the video and it's so lovely to see it all come together and to have this time of year. I love it. We're in Advent. We're in Advent Sunday one, and so I'm going to be talking on Advent themes this morning. I was praying about it. Last week, what is it? Because, you know, we've heard Advent stuff before, haven't we? We know about the incarnation. We know about Jesus, God becoming human. We've heard these talks before. And I was praying, what do you want to say, God? What is the thing that I'm going to draw out this morning? And I felt him say to me the word expectancy. What is our expectancy for God? What do we expect him to do this season? What do we expect him to do in our church? What do we expect him to do in our lives? So I'm going to be talking about our expectations of who God is and what he can do in our lives this morning. Pip and I are at this stage of in our lives where our children have moved out. And it's a for those of you who've been through this or going through this, it's a weird stage. It's a really lovely stage. You see them fly, but it's also like a bit of a grieving. Well, certainly for me, a grieving stage. You know, as they. So it's a grieving stage for us. It's not just me who experiences this. Pip does too. Oh, good grief! It's going to be one of those mornings. I'm going to get heckled if I say anything wrong. It's a bit of a grieving time. We went to Pip and I. Had the chance to go to Norway last week, where Bethany is, our daughter, and she's doing a DTS with YWAM, which, for those of you who don't know, YWAM is Youth with a Mission. They do these discipleship years, and you go away in your kind of usually in your gap year, and you do you spend some time on a base, a YWAM base, and you do have lots of teaching, lots of worship, and then you go and do outreach. And so Beth is coming to the end of her. A placement in Norway at this YWAM base there. I can never pronounce the name. Grimrud in Norway. Anyway, we got to go and see her. And I was just reminded of, like, technology's great, isn't it? We can Zoom, we can Skype. Skype's not used anymore, isn't it? That's in the past. We can Zoom, we can WhatsApp video and all the other things. FaceTime, thank you. That's good. It keeps us being able to talk to each other, but there's nothing, is there, that compares to being in the room with someone. There's nothing that compares to being able to stand with the people you love and hug them and see them and be with them, to be around a table and eat a meal with them. There's nothing like that. And so going to be with Beth, she's 7 weeks she's been away from home, and being able to give her a hug and be with her and stand next to her as we worshipped. We joined in with the on the base with all the worship and stuff that was going on. Was just something really special, and just reminded me of how important proximity is, closeness to each other is. You know, that scene in Love Actually, many of us will probably end up watching Love Actually again in the next few weeks. That scene at the airport, right at the end, where all those people are coming in and everyone's waiting for them to come, and they hug each other, and there's just that physical presence that is so important, isn't there, in relationship and in life. Proximity matters. The Christians that I met recently when I went on my trip to Bangladesh and met these persecuted Christians was really inspirational for me. But the thing that they said mattered to them most was that we went there to be with them, that we listened to their stories. We were in the room with them and we listened to their stories, and we said, you matter. By us being there, they said, it makes us feel like we're seen, that we matter to the church here in the West. And I said, you know, that we'll go and tell your stories. We'll pray for you, as we have been doing as a church. But what mattered to them, I think, beyond the talks or any words that were said, was just that we were in a room with them. We stood with them for those few days that we went there. Today, on this first Sunday in Advent, we focus our attention on this wonderful and beautiful truth that God showed up. That he became touchable and seeable and hearable. The word became flesh and dwelt among us? Or is the message that says the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood? But Bishop Ellie, when she came and led us on our Deeper Waters conference, there was a phrase that she said, that Jesus comes skin to skin with us. He comes skin to skin. He comes into every aspect of our lives, and he comes that close that he's skin to skin with us. He wants to be in every aspect of our lives. Advent, as we've already heard, or maybe it was when we were praying before the service, I can't remember, means coming. We remember Jesus coming. We remember God coming into our midst. And we also look forward to him coming again, when, as Zach said, he will make all things right. God becoming one with us. Alongside the resurrection, God becoming a human being is the most significant thing in human history. That's why that display there symbolizes, reminds us of the two most important things that ever happened in human history. And as I say, I prayed about this, and I really felt God wanted us to just be to ask ourselves the question this morning: what do we expect of God now? Do we still expect him to show up in unexpected ways? The people of God, in the time that he came, when he was born, there was no way they expected him to come the way he did. There was no way they expected him to be born in the way that he was did, to live the life that he did. Jesus comes, God comes in Jesus in unexpected ways. Where have we limited our expectation of how God can come? Are we prepared to be surprised by him, just like those people back in 2,000 and some years ago were surprised by how God came into the world? In the light of this truth that God became a human being, what does it mean for us? What does it do to our expectations of God? Do we still expect God to show up? What are your expectations of God this morning? I really want us to be honest, because our expectations are affected by so many things. By disappointment, by experiences we've had in life, by a lack of closeness to God because we've drifted. Where are your expectations this morning for what God can do and what he wants to do in your life this morning? Are there people, are there places, are there things that you're dealing with where you don't really have an expectation that God could do anything in that? What does it mean that he became human, that he became flesh and blood, that he moved into the neighborhood? What does it mean? How does that truth shape yours and mine expectation? And my hope is that, you know, and I realize what I'm saying at this time of year when things get very busy and hard, my hope is that we would take time to stop and just go, God, what does it mean for me that you became a human, that you became flesh and blood, skin and bones? What does it mean? And it'll be an intentional act that you and I will need to do, that we'll need to stop and reflect. What does it mean? What are you wanting to say to me about this? Like I said, historically, when God became Jesus, and we were going to be remembering that in the next few weeks as we tell the story of God becoming man, for thousands of years before that, people were limited in their understanding of who God was. They knew some things. They had the scriptures, the stories of encounter, but nothing would prepare them for the day that God became one of them. Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 2 says this: long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. It's the difference between walking in a thick fog and seeing shadowy shapes to being in the clear winter's day with the blue sky. They're beautiful, aren't they, those days in winter when you have the blue sky and the clear air and you see things crisply. It's the difference between the fog, the shadow, and in the clear light of day, seeing something. He came that close that we would have no doubts who God is, what he's like, how he loves us. We'd have no doubt. It's the difference between hearing in the distance the odd bar of music and trying to guess what the song is, or having your noise-cancelling headphones on that take away all the distractions and you hear that song in all its beauty. That's the difference between then and now. God was there, right in front of humanity as one of them. He said that he and the Father were one, so look at me and see what I do. Find out what God is like by looking at me. See what I do. See who I meet with. See who I love. See who I welcome. That's God doing that. With Christianity, we don't get a religion, we get a person. God dives into our darkness in order to bring light. The big question, as I say, is what does this mean for you and me today? What are your expectations of how God behaves? I think God wants to challenge them. He certainly wants to challenge them in me about what he can do, where he can move, who he can move in. I often think of people in my family that I would love to know Jesus, and I've recognized that I've sometimes given up praying for them. I think God wants to challenge me. Don't give up praying. Don't give up believing what I can do in this person's life. Maybe you are like me, that maybe you've given up believing that God can do something, that he could show up in that situation or in that person's life. Well, maybe God wants to just gently challenge you this morning and say, no, don't give up. Keep praying. Let me show you what I can do. The people of God had waited thousands of years for the Messiah, for God to show up. We've got loads of passages we could go to in the Old Testament. Just a couple. Isaiah 7 verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Zechariah 9 verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Those words were written hundreds of years before Jesus was born. I wonder, what did they think? What were they expecting? I often wonder about that, those words in Zechariah where it said he would come on a colt on the foal of a donkey. Of course, we have the benefit of hindsight and seeing that happened. But would they have really believed that? I think they probably would have gone, no, he's a king. He's not going to come like that. Their expectations would have been for something different. And we know that for many of the Jewish people around the time of Jesus, they expected him to come and conquer the Roman occupiers that were living in the land. Their expectations were not what Jesus actually came to do, were not realized. He came and surprised them with the way that he worked and the things that he did. So let's remind ourselves briefly what it means that God becomes human. He was fully human, not just human for a small bit of time, for the bits that suited him, for the bits that we're okay for it being God in those moments, but he stepped out of being human for the bits that it wouldn't suit God to be in. He was fully human. He showed up into the fullness of being human. He slept. He woke up. He had food. He got washed. He went to work with his father, Joseph. He most likely hurt himself. He laughed. He cried. He encountered death. He knew grief. He had friendships. He knew anger, injustice. He knew betrayal. He felt sadness. Jesus showed up and entered into life in a way that would not have been expected. God limited himself to human form. He was born in a dirty, smelly animal shed. For the people waiting for God to show up in the time of Jesus, there was no way that they would have expected him to come to a cattle shed, to a stall with animals in, and all that goes with that environment. They wouldn't have expected him to be born to a teenage mum, to become a baby, God becoming a baby, making himself totally dependent on his creation, vulnerable. I've been really enjoying a book called Prayer in the Night that Sam Parker lent me. I would really recommend it. It's a really good book about God, how God shows up in some of the toughest times. It's talking about how he particularly specializes in revealing who he is in those tough times in life. And she says this: Jesus left a place where there is no night to enter into our darkness. He left a place where there is no night to enter into our darkness. He met with blisters and indigestion, with fractured relationships and the death of friends, with an oppressive empire, the indignity of poverty and the terror of violence. One night he sweat blood, asking the Father to spare him from agony, weeping in the lonely darkness while his friends fell asleep. He said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And soon afterward, he was tortured to death. If the incarnation tells us anything, and the incarnation just means, it's like in flesh, carne, chili con carne, meat, in flesh, God becoming flesh. If the incarnation tells us anything, it is that God loves his people so much that he will do anything to be with them. And he will shatter all expectations of how he works in order to do this. So what are your expectations of God, of how he will show up, of who he will show up with, of the situations he will show up in? Have we limited him in our lives? Are there people you've given up on? Are there situations, places where the last things you would expect would be for Jesus to show up? The Bible is full of people who would not have expected to encounter God and be talked about and read about for thousands of years afterwards. Think about the shepherds. They would not have expected to be some of the first to meet God in human form. Mary, the teenager from Nazareth. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, excluded from society. He wouldn't have expected to be someone that God would show up in his life. The Samaritan woman drawing water from the village well in the heat of the day on the edges of her community because of who she was. The little boy, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, the little boy insignificant in the crowd, would not have expected God in human form to take his packed lunch for one, and make it into a meal for thousands. What do these stories do to your heart this morning? To our faith, to your faith, to my faith, to our expectations of what God could do today, now. One of my oldest friends is called Lee. I've mentioned him before. He's spoken here, actually. He works for Open Doors. That's how I got to go to Bangladesh. I went to Bangladesh with him. And I got chatting with him. He came to faith the same time as me when we were both 17. And I was surprised at God showing up in his. I wish I could say that I was praying for him, and I had expectations that he would come and find Jesus. But I can't. I really just needed someone to help me with a bookstall at church, and so I asked him to come and help me. And the bookstall was in the church, so he heard the talk, and God showed up and spoke to his heart. And the next thing I knew, he was standing at the front of the church giving his life to Jesus. I didn't have any expectation that God would do that. Honestly, I wish I did, but I didn't. But I'm really challenged by how God showed up in his life. And I was talking to him. We both like went to Bangladesh, and we both ended up speaking to all these Bangladeshi pastors. And we did a talk, both of us together, and I said to him, you know, when we were 17 and we were doing detached youth work in Hull, would you have ever imagined that we'd end up here doing this, speaking in Bangladesh? And I in my own heart, I didn't even expect him to come to know Jesus, let alone that we'd be doing this one day down the line. And he told me actually that where God started to work in his life was a year earlier, when at school the Gideons had come in. You remember Gideons coming in and giving out the New Testament Bibles? And the Gideons had come in and given him a New Testament Bible. And there was a hunger in his heart that made him, when he went home, go and sit and read this Bible. And God started to work on his heart for a year. So that when I asked him to come and do this bookshop, God knew what he was doing. And God showed up in his life and changed his life. Never underestimate what God is doing in the hearts of the people that you see every day. I went to school every day with Lee. I didn't know what God was doing in his heart. What is God doing in the hearts of your neighbors, the people you work with, that you have no idea about, that you maybe have no expectation that he would be doing, but he is doing? What about you personally? What about me personally? Are there some no-go areas for you that you think there's no way God's going to show up in that bit of my life? Are there areas of your life that you have little expectation that God is in or can be in? Your head down, I'm just going to get through this. What if God is wanting to reveal who he is precisely in that bit of your life? Are you willing to change your expectation? What if you've assumed that God won't come into those places? God has a habit of breaking assumptions and expectations to remind you that life broke through into the most unexpected of places and into the most unexpected of people, with situations people wouldn't have expected him to touch, because he loves you, because he loves me. And he wants to be born into everything. Remember, he came into the fullness of life. And he wants to be born into the fullness of our lives. The stuff that's easy for him to be born into for us, and the stuff that's hard for him to be born into for us. There are lots of assumptions about God that aren't true. You probably hear them all the time. There are assumptions that I was interested in, these assumptions about Christmas. And maybe I've taken some of them on as well. It's assumed that Mary rode on a donkey, but the Bible doesn't say she did. It's assumed there was an innkeeper, but it doesn't mention one anywhere. It's assumed that there were three magi, three wise men, but it doesn't give a number of those who showed up. It's assumed that Jesus was born in a stable, but all it says is that he was laid in a manger. And that could have been in any number of places. There are lots of assumptions about how God works and behaves as well. Like an assumption that he doesn't want to deal with that aspect of your life. Or that he isn't going to move into that person's life that we long for him to do, but we think there's no way. Or he's not going to ever move into that situation. It just seems impossible. Our assumptions hinder our spiritual journey in all kinds of ways. And the antidote to assumption is being reminded of the things we're thinking about this morning. He, God, became flesh and blood and moved into the fullness of life, into everything, in a surprising and unexpected way. How does he want to do that in your life, in our lives today? What are your assumptions about God? I have my own that God is challenging me about. What are the ones he wants to challenge you about? Have you limited your expectations? I heard this on an Advent reflection the other day. What if the very things that I think disqualify me from God being close actually qualify me to receive him as Emmanuel? You see, God chose to go to those people who disqualified themselves from him moving in. And he specialized in drawing near to those people and into those situations. What if he's longing for us to lift up our gaze beyond our limited expectations? For us to have an expectation that he could be born anywhere and in any situation? What if we as a people lived in such a way that we were looking for him, hungry for him to show up, to be born into the hard places, the dark places in our lives, the fun places, the good places in our lives, the joyous places in our lives. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I'm just going to pause, and I just want to be quiet for a minute. And I would like us in the silence to be honest ourselves before God. Bring before him those things where you have little or no expectation of him showing up. And just take a moment to ask God, where do you want to show up, Lord? Where have I limited my expectation? And as he shows you this, as you bring these things before God, can I encourage you to pray? Change my heart, Lord. Sorry for limiting you. Raise my expectations of where you can and want to show up. Dare to pray. Okay, God, be born there. Come there. And can I encourage you to make a note of that so you keep praying? Maybe on your phone, or as like Zach says, if you still use paper. Can I encourage you to make a note? Don't go from this place, from what God might be wanting to say to you and challenge you about. There's a beautiful picture I came across, which is about God pouring himself into human flesh. Which will be the next slide, please. God moved into everyday life. God poured himself out into human flesh so that he could be close to us. Jesus was born into everyday life, all of it. He turned up at weddings, parties. He turned up when close friends had died. He lived life where he cried. He had extreme anxiety. He had deep friendships. And he was tragically let down by close friends. He faced fear and death, and in all of this, he remained God. God lived life in a way no one would have expected. God showed up in people's lives in ways no one would have ever expected. And he wants to do that still. In the everyday of our lives, the school run, the morning routine, the sitting doing life admin bit of our lives, the cooking the dinner bit of our lives, maybe you and I can say to him, Lord, show up there. Surprise me with your presence. In the laughter, in the parties, in the joyful and fun times, he loves being there. Lord, show up there. Surprise us with your presence. And in the hard times of life, in the health diagnoses that are hard to hear, in the grief, in the sadness, in the pain and anxiety, he specializes in showing up in those situations. Lord, in those places, surprise us with your presence. What are your expectations of God this Advent and this Christmas? How does he want to surprise you with his presence? Can you invite the band to come up, please? I really want to encourage us to reflect on this over this season, to continue asking him, where do you want to show up? And I want to encourage you to make a plan for how you're going to do that. How are you going to engage with God in this season? Are you going to get up a bit earlier and meet with him then? I was really challenged by, it's hard when your children start challenging you in your walk with Jesus. You receive it and you go, oh, that's great, that's really interesting. But inside you're going, why are you challenging me? Bethany challenged me. She's getting up every day a bit earlier to spend time with God. I thought, I should do that. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's not you. We're all different. But what is your plan? Are you going to come with friends and use the prayer room that we've got set up over there? Maybe book it as a community. Come and spend time just pressing into God and hearing what he wants to say. Are you going to not turn on the radio as you drive to work and instead, as you drive, drive with God? He's with you anyway. I know that. I know that's bad theology that when you turn the radio off, suddenly God's there. He's there anyway. But are you going to just give space and be attentive to him rather than whatever it is that distracts you? Not that any of that is wrong, but it can become in the place, can't it, of God? Instead of picking up your phone when you lie in bed, this is one for me. Maybe not do that, and maybe just pause and just listen to some calming music. I find that hard and that easy, sorry, that helpful, and that helps me just spend time with God at the end of the day. Just bring to him. And then sometimes it's good to say, God, where were you? Where did you show up today? Oh yeah, you were in that conversation, or you were there. Let's just learn to be attentive to where he is, where he wants to be, and how he might want to surprise us in our lives. But this has to be something we choose to do. It has to be something that each of us makes a plan to do. And that's on you. That's up to you. So what will it be for you? And can I encourage you to make a note of what you're going to do? How are you going to engage with God? I'm going to pray, and then we'll worship together. As always, there will be people who can pray with you at the end of the service, so please do take that opportunity. If there are things that you want to do business with God with, we'd love to help you do that. We'd love to pray alongside you and just bless what God is doing. So do come and be prayed for. So let's just pray. Can we stand together? Maybe you want to hold your hand out just to show your willingness to be surprised by God. There's nothing special in holding our hands out, but there is something about physical movement that makes a difference. It kind of speaks to our souls and as we do physical acts. So Lord, thank you so much for the reminder of the way that you love us, and that you God didn't stay distant, but you came into the very nuts and bolts of life, that you became flesh and blood, and that you lived the fullness of life as a human being. And you understand what it means to live the fullness of life as a human being. And your heart is to walk with us, to be with us in every bit of our lives. So Lord, would you surprise us again? Would you raise our faith again? Would you raise our expectations of what you can do and how you can move and how you can work? Forgive us, Lord, where we have limited our expectations of who you are and what you can do. Raise our faith again, Lord, would you? This Christmas time, this Advent season, lift our heads to gaze upon you again, Lord. To see who you are and what you're doing and what you want to do. I pray that there would be stories that we can tell of how you have broken in and how you've surprised us, how we've met with you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Jesus, we welcome you. Come be born in our lives again. Can be born in our church again, we pray. Amen.